Yud Zayin Teves, Friday the 20th of December, Rabbi Yaakov Sipper, re-evaluating the purpose of Golus.
As we re-enter the Parshas pertaining to Golus Mitzrayim, it gives us an opportunity to re-examine and to put into focus and sharper perspective the Tachlis of Golus and our efforts towards Gula. Chazal tell us, Gemara in Bechayrus Daf Ches, that the Greek philosophers, the Chachmei Atuna, once challenged the Tanoim, the great Tanoim, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, and asked him a question, perplexing question. He said to him, "What do you do when salt starts rotting? How do you preserve salt?" And he said to him, "Take." And the response was, "Take the afterbirth of a mule." And he said, "Rebbe, a mule doesn't have children and there's no afterbirth." And Rabbi Chaim Voloshin explains that the question was like this. Golus has a purpose. The purpose of Golus is the kaporas, avoinus, to be mechapa avoinus. We've left Eretz Yisrael because of our avoirus. And Golus has a purpose. The problem is that things seem to rebound. Because in Golus, we are exposed to various cultures, and instead of bringing the kaparas avinus, then we unfortunately there's Yuridus Adairus, and we know the Yuridus Adairus and Ashbaas Asviva, and we get worse and worse. And this was the question of the Chachmetun asked, and he said, "Tell us." He says, "Will you ever come out of Golus? Is it possible to ever come out of Golus if there's a Yuridus Adairus?" And if this question was relevant then, how much more so today? In the last couple of hundred years, with the introduction of reform, and a scholar which attacked us from within, opening the gates to reform and conservative and intermarriage, Rachman Litzlan, from the outside we've got the lowering of moral standards. What chance do we have? How can it be that this is bringing Mashiach closer? How can that be? And I think to understand it is to give us an understanding of one of a day which I always found very difficult to put together what the Avodas Hayom is. Let's refer to Tisha B'Av. On one hand, we find, Chazal tell us, that Einayim Tachnun, you don't say Tachnun, even Erev Tisha B'Av B'Mincha. Why? Because Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, Nikra Moed. Nikra Moed, if there's one day in a year which isn't a day of Simcha, that's Tisha B'Av. How do we reconcile it? Bez Hashem, one day it will be a Yom Tov, but at the moment it's not a Yom Tov. On the Avtoira, Tisha B'Av morning, we say, the Pasha in Yirmiyah, we say from the Novi Yirmiyah, Ki hineni mishaleach bochem. The Ribbono Hashem says, "I will send to you nechoshim tzifoinim, venomous serpents, asher ein lohem lachash, that there's no cure, v'noshchu eschem, and they will bite you, ne'um Hashem." Chazal, the Navi, describes Golus, that the Golus is like a bite of a venomous snake. And it's very, very frightening. If Golus is compared to a Nechoshim Tzifayinim, Asher Ein Lehem Lachash, that there's no cure, so what chance do we have in Golus? How will we ever get out of Golus? Nechosh is... How will we ever get out of Golus? There was a story circulating in Eretz Yisrael. I heard this story over from one of the mashkichim in Hechel, Reb Tzvi Kuzlevsky's yeshiva. And this story, he heard this story over from Mekairis Nemonim about a family that were touring in Midbar Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael. And the father, the head of the mishpacha, was attacked by a venomous snake. Of course, immediately he fell unconscious, was taken to hospital, was an intensive care unit. And they said that usually under such circumstances, there's very, very, very little chance at all of recovery. They said to Hillim, people davened, and he made a miraculous recovery. And after, when he was better, when he recovered, the head of the unit, of the ICI unit, came to visit him and said to him, "I want to tell you something, that your illness, or what happened to you, has had tremendous impact, far more than you can ever imagine. Number one," he says, "my wife and I are becoming Baalei Tshuva. Let me tell you what happened." And not only that, he says, "maybe we're beginning of a new revolutionary approach in medicine." He said, "unknown to you, when you had this bite, unknown to you, Rachmana Litzlan, you had a large tumor, cancerous tumor in your intestines. And you had no idea. The teva of a bite, when a snake bites, the venom attacks one of the inner organs and just totally destroys it. And that's why there's normally no refuah at all. Here, the bite came in, and by some miracle, the venom attacked and totally destroyed the cancerous growth. Totally. And he said, otherwise there's very little damage, and you have recovered. And you have recovered. The Navi says that kihinni mishaleach b'chem nachoshim tzifoinim asha'ein lem lachash. Yes, there is a concept of a venomous bite where there's no cure. V'noshru eschem. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the bite, sometimes the bite has a tremendous telos. Whether this story actually happened, as far as stories are, I wouldn't be Matin Aguna with this story. But I do know that there's a chazal. There's a Rav Pam, Zeichet Tzadiv Rocha, brings down a beautiful chazal. V'hinei toiv moit. V'yare likim es kol asha osa. It says that every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world is kol asha osa is toiv moit. And the Medrash says, Chazal say, afilu nechoshim v'akrovim, even snakes and scorpions, and they're also considered toiv moit. Even those things that apparently cause tremendous damage are toiv moit. So Chazal tell us that there were tanoim, and they were discussing it. How is that possible? How can a snake be toiv moit? What sense does that make? How do we understand it? And as they were walking along, oydom mahalchim bederech, v'hinei nochash achas echad rotz lifneim. Suddenly they saw a snake, this venomous snake was coming. Amar Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon looked at it and said, you'll see, let's have a look what the toiv moed is. V'yoratz, the snake ran in front of them, at shepoga ba'afor, which is another very wild animal. They got into a fight, and both animals were killed. So here you have a nochash came along, v'hinei toiv moed, and this is the toiv moed. We know that after the fight, the struggle between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav, when Yaakov was subjected at that stage to the highest degree of physical torture, possibly on the level of the Spanish Inquisition, and according to the way many Meforshim, and in the end, he managed to successfully come out of it. And the Torah tells us, the Sar Shel Esav said to him, let me go, I have to go and sing Shira. I have to sing Shira. Well, that morning he had to sing Shira. And the Meforshim explained that all tzaras, Yesurim, on the Sionis, to bring out the potential of a person, to allow them to discover inner strengths they never knew they had, and to develop higher madregas in Amunah. When the Baal Nisoyin triumphs, that is a moment of Shira in Shemayim. The Sar Shel Esav is a Malach, and the Malach comes to give us this Yonis. What does the Malach want? Ultimately, the Malach wants covered Shemayim. And so when Yaakov succeeded, he went up to Shemayim. As we said, if we understand Tisha B'Av, we can understand Golos. When we say the Kinnis, if one would imagine and one would picture once again, one put one's mind back. Tisha B'Av, Kinnis, Klal Yisrael saying Kinnis. Kinnis depicts the horror stories attached to it. How much Yiddish blood was spilled, Jewish blood, Yiddish blood was spilled. How much grief and pain, the physical suffering, the financial losses. How much terrible pain. But that is the perspective in this world. But in Shemayim, it's a different story. Number one is Bechol Tzareinu Leitzah. But then again, there's another perspective. Sos v'sameach bevoye lov nefesh noki v'tzadik. Sos v'sameach in Shemayim, how many pshutei om, how many people who were considered simple people rose to the highest levels of Mesiras Nefesh during the Holocaust, during the various times of Tzoros. How many? I remember hearing from Reb Shach, I was zeichet to hear this at least two or three times from Reb Shach, zeichet tzaliv rocha. And whenever he said over this story, he would cry through this story. He would tell the story of a group of Yidden during the Shoah, who were taken, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, would always take a Yom Tov to try and ruin and spoil whatever they could, and just to somehow either take away the any simchas achayim or any imun in the future. And therefore they decided one simchas Torah, they're going to take a whole group of people and take them, this would take them to the gas chambers. And this group of Yidden was standing there, and they'd already been prepared, their clothes had been removed. And one of the Yidden said, "Mein Torah Brüder, my dear brothers, today is Simchas Torah." So the Yidden said, "So therefore what? We've got no shul, we've got no Sefer Torah. We haven't, what can..." He said, "Yes, we may not have that, but Bechol Tzoreinu Leitzor, the Ribbono Shleim is with us together, as the Ribbono Shleim Lomad Tansen mit der Shechina." And Reb Shach said, he used to say with tears, and those Heilige Yidden getanzt and getanzt and getanzt till the moment came, V'yotzon Ishmasa. And I remember hearing this from Reb Shach. Reb Shach would say, "Ich wollte weggegeben halb mein Teure. I would give away half of my Teure to be able to have been there at that time." Yitzchak and Avram came to the Akedah after 9 Nisyonis. And these Heilige Yidden at that moment were suddenly brought to a Madrega, the Madrega of the Akedah. And that is what Golas can do. In this world, we say kinnis. In Shomayim, singt man Shira. We know that the current Pashas, the Ribbono Shel Olam is nice boil, the Livnas HaSapir, which was always the remez of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the symbol of the Chol Tzoreinu Leitzor. And I once heard it asked, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use a Livnas HaSapir? Sapir is sapphire. If you want to remember the Golos, so remember the Golos, put a plain brick which is made out of straw or something. Why use a precious sapphire? And the lesson is, because in this world there's suffering, but in Shamayim, in this world there's torture, but in Shamayim there's treasures. In Shamayim, these are jewels, because Klal Yisrael are gaining so much by overcoming those tzoras. I once heard from Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, Shemarach Yom Min Shonim, "Diminu aleikim chastecho bekeref eicholecho." He says, "Diminu aleikim." Sometimes in this world, we think it's aleikim, the midas hadin, but in reality, it is chastecho bekeref eicholecho. In this world, on Tisha B'Av, we say kinnis. But when we say kinnis and we go through and we recall what happened in the past, in Shamayim Zinkman Shira, the Malachim are singing Shira, Ribbono Shel Olam, look what a Klal Yisrael you've got. After hundreds and hundreds of years in Golos, look what they're accepting from you. Look what Golos can do. The Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful Yesod, very beautiful Yesod. And his Yesod is, he addresses this question. The question that many people used to ask is a mitzvah of tzipisa liyeshua, a mitzvah to anticipate the coming of Mashiach, and a mitzvah which really is mechayev us to believe that at any given moment he can come, not in the future, he can come hayoyim, he could come today, any time, a Mashiach can come at any moment. And the Chofetz Chaim asked the question, he said, let's be real, even the Chofetz Chaim in his generation, he said, are we as great as the earlier generations? Rabbi Kivege and Chasam Sofer, are we as great as their generations? Are we as great as the generations of the Beis Yosef and Narizal? Are we as great as the generation? And they couldn't bring the Mashiach. How can we bring the Mashiach? Zofet HaChofetz Chaim. So besides the answer of accumulating Zchuyos, but the Chofetz Chaim says something else. And the Chofetz Chaim brings out a point, which I think is a point of tremendous encouragement for everybody. And that is the aside of Lefum Tzara Agra. Lefum Tzara Agra. This is that corresponding to the pain is the reward. We know already Rabbi Yisrael Salanta has his aside. He has the aside ki noida, ki mitzvahs nerochis keneged tzakiyum. Ubechol ze bebchines tzakiyumam. When it comes to the tzakiyumam, the tzavakim, yesh b'neim hefrish, kama alofim. You're going to have two people doing a mitzvah, the same mitzvah, In different times, in different generations, and one of them, the mitzvah, is valued at so much more. So the Chofetz Chaim, that's the encouragement for our generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, when it comes close, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring the Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create a situation, a world situation, where there are going to be such challenges, so many challenges, just to remain an El Chayid, just to be able to get through from morning to night and go through our day without Chas V'Shalom Grace HaChatoim. The Rebbein Shem is going to make it so difficult. There's going to be difficulties with Parnassah, difficulties bringing up children in so many different ways. Why? Because the greater the difficulties, the more difficulties, the greater the quality of Avodah. Because pa machas betzah, one little bit of Avodah betzah is worth thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of times more than other times. Let's give a simple example, one simple example, just to bring out the point clearly. Let's go back. Let's talk about one of the biggest issues in today's world that we challenge with Tzar Gidol Bonim. Tzar Gidol Bonim. If you ask somebody, can you define in today's terms, what is Tzar Gidol Bonim? I don't think we have to spend time on that. We all know what that is. Let's go back 200 years to Vilna. Imagine two Yidden walking along the streets, discussing, I've got such Tzar Gidol Bonim. My child gave me such Agmas Nefesh this week. You know what happened this week? The Rebbe told me that he looked out of his Gemara. He looked out in the middle of a shir. There was a, I was giving a 3-4 hour shir, and he looked out. He closed his eyes in the middle of shir. Can you imagine? Another one is saying, my child. I saw my child one evening. After this, he sat, he was playing with it. What's going on? The Tzar Gidol Bonim. What? In the olden days, not just a Tzar Gidol Bonim. When mothers would stand and daven in the olden times, when mothers stood by the candles, when a mother stood in Vilna, when you had the Vilna Gaon living on the corner, and you had Reb Chaim Voloshin, and you had Avram ben Avram, and you had the bottom midrashim of the Prushim there, and children were growing up, and this is what they were seeing. What do you think Vilna looked like? And the mother stood by the candles and cried, mein Kinder soll sein Elche Yidden. She was davening for an upgrade. She wanted an upgrade. What are we davening for when we daven for our children? Einiklach? Are we just davening for upgrades? We all know the dangers, what we are davening for. So the power of tefillahs that we are able to generate today are incomparable to the tefillahs of the early generations. That's an opportunity that we have in tefillah. To understand, and it's something we must understand, is the chashivas of each little nisoyan that we have. My mechutin, Reb David Dunner, showed me recently, sent me a copy of a letter that he had received, a peledika, maisa, which was told over from Reb Don Segel, Shemarech Yom and Shonim. Reb Don Segel was in Austria, visiting the Kvarim, And he looked at what's called the Sefer Kehillas. They have in the archives of each town, and the Sefer Kehillas. And he looked in there, and he saw a Maisa. The Maisa goes back approximately, the story goes back to the beginning of the 1900s, where there was a young girl who came from a frum family. The family's name was Schiff. And this girl, living in Vienna, this girl had the most beautiful voice. She had a voice which was nothing less than absolutely professional. And apparently people found out about it. And they wanted to, one of the talent scouts, a famous agent, came to her and offered her a contract, which was a very lucrative and unusually lucrative and opportunity, once in a lifetime. Now those were days before Beis Yaakov, when they had the girls didn't have a chinuch. And therefore didn't have a chinuch, didn't have the background and the atmosphere, which was at that time. Prevalent at that time. And she considered it. She said, I want to consider it. Let me think about it. Her parents were very, you can imagine, her parents weren't happy. But she said, look, this is my life. And at that time, it was considered an nisayon. Parents took her to a Rav. The Rav was of Yosef Baumgarten, Zecher Tzad Livracha, the father, Reb Shlomo Baumgarten. And he couldn't convince her. He could not. And he asked her. He couldn't convince her. So he took her. There was a Yid, a Tzaddik, the Kapishnitzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzad Livracha, and Adam Godel, the Pikeach. And he said to tell me, he says, just explain to me. A person can never judge someone else. I don't understand the Nisayon. I don't have a good voice. I'm never going to be an opera singer. But tell me, what's the Yetzer Hara? What is it? Is it money that you want? And she said, fame. I want fame. I'm not going to live forever. And I want people to remember me. And I want people to remember. And I'm not going to get a second opportunity. And you could see, he spoke to her, and you could see she's an Elecha, Nadel, who has a very big Nisayan, a tremendous Nisayan. And he closed his eyes for a few minutes. And of course, Gedolim have a certain Kayach, and he obviously saw that this girl was being tested. And if she was being tested, then somehow or other, there were the Kayachas within her to overcome it. And he said to the following, listen carefully, my daughter. It's a dream of every Jewish mother, every Jewish woman to be blessed with a child. I'll tell you something, I'll make a deal with you. You won't get the fame. But if you are mevater on this, and you stand down, I promise you a child that will one day illuminate Klal Yisrael. Do you agree? And she said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I understand. I do. Because really, deep down is what I want. Yes, I agree. I, this is what I want. And if Don Segel discovered that his child's name was Shmuel, he had no idea who Shmuel was. No idea. And he made some research. And he found out that this Shmuel is actually still alive. On Thursday, August the 8th, 2013, he found out that this Shmuel is having his 100th birthday. And he went along. And he went along to Bnei Brak. And he came into the home of the Poisek, one of the Poiskei Adoir, Shemarech Yom Men Shonim at Bias HaGoyel, Reb Shmuel Vosner. And he came into Reb Shmuel and said, Reb Shmuel, I've heard this story over. Is it true? And Reb Shmuel started crying. And he says, my mother never actually told me this story. But on many occasions she said to me, you have no idea, what I gave away for you, today that you should become the Odom Gadol. You have no idea. And in other words, Reb Shmuel Vosner felt that yes, this story. Now let's understand. Let's understand this chus. Here, I shudder to think. If I think back, let's go back. Let's imagine back in that town when this young lady walked into Shul Shabbos morning. She walked into Shul Shabbos morning and she was the girl who had considered, she had considered that job. What did people say about her? Which Sem would have accepted her in those days? How did she manage to find the Shidduch? And if somebody, and people probably would have said, don't, just keep away from this girl. Look at her. Look what she wanted to do. And if somebody wanted to say, what do you mean what she wanted to do? Do you know that one day she's going to have a son who's going to be a Rav in Bnei Brak for Bezash, or at least he's been Rav for the last 60 years, chosen by the Chazon Ish, one of the Poiskei Adoir, hundreds of his Talmidim are Rabbonim, are the greatest Rabbonim in the world, and this elevated Neshama which is going to come down to the world can only come down to the world with certain conditions. There has to be a woman great enough to bring down such a Neshama. Which woman is great enough? Yes, there are many fine people, but it needed somebody to go through an Akedah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time used, this was a Nochosh, Chas V'Sholem, had this girl accepted a job, the Nochosh, she would have been killed in a ruchniyistik away. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barayv Chastoy sent that Nochosh, V'Hinei Toiv Ma'id, because she overcame that Nisoyen, and by overcoming that Nisoyen, look what became of her. And the Mekoyer is really with Yosef HaTzadik. When Yaakov brought Ephraim and Menashe in, and to receive, Yaakov wanted to elevate them, and Yaakov says, Mi'eila, v'yai Yisrael es b'nei Yisrael, Mi'eila. And Rashi says, Me'echen yotzo eile she'enam ru'uyim lebrocha. And the Pasha Pshat is, and what did Yosef respond? Let's have a look at his response. Bonai heim, asher nosan le'nekim b'zeh. Yaakov had decided to take two shifte kar, upgrade them and make them into shvatim. That was Yaakov's decision. And he chose Ephraim and Menashe. And they walked in, and Yaakov looks at them and says, why did I make that choice? Why did they make that choice? Are they bigger Lamdonim than their cousins? Are they bigger Talmidei Chachamim? I don't think so. Do they daven better? I don't know if they daven better. Are they great in any way? So why are they chosen? Why have they been chosen? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu guide me? And Yosef says, Daddy, I'll tell you the answer. Because Bonai Haim, Asher, Bonai Haim, these are my children. Asher Nosan Yelikim Bezer, says the Sepurna, says the Rashbam. What does it mean, Bezer? Says the Rashbam. But Malchus Hazois, I had these two children here in Mitzrayim. The Sepurna says, these are children, Ba'oidi Levadi Poi. Let's understand. The Shiftei Kar at that time were born in Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael then is the comparison to Vilna. Vilna, Bnei Brak, Kiryat Sefer. These children were born there. A Chochma, that they are where they are. But my children are born in Mitzrayim. It's just the olden day. That's the Manhattan, the Paris. We were born in the center of Manhattan. We were born, and my children are still Erech Hayidin. Yaakov says, you're absolutely right. Because of the Nisyonis, because of the Lefum Sarah Agra, therefore they are considered greater, far, far greater. Ba'oidi Levadipoi, far, far greater. And says the Chofetz Chaim, that's the pshat of our generation. That's the opportunities that our generation has had. And one goes through history, one sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any tzara which to us looks like kinnis, in Shamayim, those are the shiras. When Mashiach comes, we'll understand. I remember once reading for Rabbi Yosef Freidenson, Zecher Tzad Livracha, who always would give a very positive perspective to the Shoah, to the Holocaust. And he talks about one of his bunkmates, Gehesen Ayida, an Ungarische Yid, Gehesen Reb Binyamin. And he said, this Reb Binyamin would wake up every morning, and he would say Birkas Hashacha, and he would stop by the words, Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu. And he would say it once, and he would say it in Yiddish, once and twice, 5, 6, 10 times. He is a Yid waking up in a concentration camp with the smell of what's happened the night before, the smoke bellowing from the chimneys. He had lost his wife and his family, his parents, and he's standing there with tears in his eyes, Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu, because he understood the Vehine Toiv Moed. He understood that in Shamayim, it's yes, Diminu Elikim, but it is our these Yidden were given opportunities to raise themselves and raise Klal Yisrael and prepare for the Geula. Let me just tell you over. Rav Tauber, Shemarech Yom and Shonim, writes. He says he was once flying and giving various shurim, and there was some engine trouble, and he landed in the middle of nowhere. He was taken to a hotel in overnight, and he comes in absolutely exhausted, and he remembers he hasn't done his Daf Yomi. Takes taste of Gemara and starts learning. I'm sure we all know what that's like. You put your finger on the top line, you fall asleep. 20 minutes later, you know what? Come on, it's Nishka Esek. You try again, a second time and a third time. Garnished. After 1.5 hours, it's nearly 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's still on the fourth line of Gemara. And he gets very upset. He says, my tata was a balabos, my zeda were balabatim. And I remember they came home after a hard day's work, and they gzitz in the galed for shoes banach, and I can't even learn a daf Gemara at night. What's happening to me? And he said, I remember my Zaydus Tfilis. And then he stood up and he smiled. And he said, Ribbono shel Olam, the learning from my Zayda, the Erlichkeit in Tfilis of my Zayda, I can't give you. But I can give you a Matana. I can give you a Matana that not my father, not my Zayda, nobody till Moshe Rabbeinu could give you. Next to me is a television. And it's got there 300 or 600 programs. With a press of the button, I can watch anything I can. And I'm giving you that Sur Meirah. A Sur Meirah that no other generation in history could have given you. And that's the tachlis of our generation. And that is what we look towards. Tzipisa LeYeshua. Yes, in this world we are seeing there are tremendous nisyonis, difficulties and challenges. But we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beroiv Chastoi is preparing the Geula. Giving us, we have opportunities that no other generation had. May the Ribbono Shel Olam help that we should soon be zeicher to the Geula Shleima B'Mehayev Yemeinu. Amen.